Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's officially the last Monday of the month of July, and it feels like it's been quite an eventful one. Whether you're taking a look at local economic news and data that we've witnessed, from the interest rate cycle to what we're seeing regarding inflation, even company updates, it's been incredibly busy. And if you consider that in the next few weeks, there's just a lot more that we need to anticipate when it comes to global company updates, even the geopolitical environment, there'll be a lot of information and insight that we'll continue to update you on. On that note, we're also keen to hear your thoughts on some of the conversations we've had on the show so far. Everything looking at beneficiation in the mining industry and how power, energy, logistics play a critical role in that regard, but also how we as South Africans have proven to be very resilient, despite the fact that orange juice and coffee, some basics that we have in our households, have become a lot more expensive. But according to institutions like Old Mutual and their Savings and Investment Monitor, they highlight that we've become very resilient as South Africans. Ons maak 'n plan, man. You know, things just happen to make sure that we find a sustainable way of maintaining not only our income, but most importantly, our lifestyles right across the spectrum. Share your voice notes with us, 063-688-0959. Well, we're going to shift gears now into an important conversation, and one that we might have visited in the past, specifically when it comes to the margins, metrics, and the reality of owning a forecourt filling station. Now, you might recall a few months ago we had discussed this, especially in light of the divestment that we're seeing from companies like Shell and understanding the impact that that would have on their local businesses. But also, when we spoke about the transition or rebranding that typically takes place with a number of filling stations and how that impacts their margins. The petrol price and why stores at the forecourt remain very important, including key brand partnerships to make sure that they increase foot traffic. But tonight, we thought we'd go back to basics around the business of petrol stations, how to buy one, and of course, understanding what typically is associated with costs and ownership. Datere Gisibia joins us now, the Chief Executive for the Fuel Retailers Association, to give us a lot more insight into this conversation. Babsibia, sawubona.
Good evening to the listeners.
Thank you. Thank you for making time to speak to us. We appreciate that you've been so liberal before with a lot of information around the management, the ownership, and even the cost structure, right, when it comes to owning a petrol station. And the one key takeaway I remember you sharing with us is the margins are tight. Oh, margins are tight. But despite that, it doesn't take away for the need and the entrepreneurial endeavors of fuel retailers to exist, right? So there's still a need for it in the market, and there are ways to be innovative around managing the profit margins, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Google, I think that was a nice, introduction. Let's put it this way. You know, I've said you can go to the poor of the poorest countries in the world. You'll always find a service station. Exactly because, I mean, there is a need for fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the, you know, the economic environment where you're in, it's also important what you are willing to accept. Let me just say, for example, there is a service station, and there's quite a number of them, you know, service stations pumping below, you know, just say 200,000 liters a month.
Mm.
That service station, if they take or if they make a net profit of 60,000, between 60,000 and 80,000,
mm-hmm.
you know, a month, you know, that owner is doing very well. Now, it's a question now of saying, well, think about somebody who's working meekly manager in an office who never invested anything. By the way, if you talk about this service station, you're talking about a 10 million investment and you're getting that 60,000 and 80,000 before, you know, interest and tax. So you might be willing to live with that. Mm. But some people may not be willing to live with that because somebody can say, look, you know, if I can go and be a manager in a company, I don't have to invest anything and I can get a salary of between 60,000 and 80,000. Why would I go and you know, sweat myself out 24/7 in a business where I need to first risk my investment, where there's a lot of variables in terms of, you know, running the business. So it's really, it's because of the economic situation. Some people just find themselves that, well, if I leave this business, what else do I have?
Yeah.
You know, with the unemployment in South Africa, you know, hitting the roof. So there's a lot of factors that actually keep people where they are. Mm. It does not necessarily mean that they are happy where they are. So that perspective is very, very important. Why service stations will always exist. So another thing, Gugu, because this is a wide topic, and I don't know how much time we have, so I decided today let's just focus on the principles first.
Yes. Go ahead.
So, you know, often you'll find service stations being advertised in various platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when you look at the pricing and what the rate they're actually going at, it gives you an impression that this is a good business. But you've got to be very, very careful, you know, when you're buying the service station, because you need to understand a lot behind the numbers.
Mm.
For example, I might be saying to you, here is a service station for 40 million, right? And then you say, wow. If it's 40 million, it means, you know, this is a really, really good business. Mm-hmm. But it might turn out that it is not a good business, because this service station might be actually what we call an independent service station. In other words, I own the assets.
There's so no affiliation you'll with find the that franchise.
60% of that price,
mm-hmm,
or 70% of that price is actually the assets. Mm. It is the land, you know, which has got its own evaluation methodology, is the other assets, your pumps and tanks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the question is, when you go to the numbers that those assets are actually producing, it can give you a totally different story. Mm-hmm. So don't be misled by the numbers. You need to go to the details. What is it that am I buying? So if it's assets involved, I need to know what is the value for the assets. But more importantly, is the business, because you can have the assets, but if the business is not doing well, then you're in trouble. Now, how do we evaluate the business? There is a tried, tested, and acceptable evaluation methodology used by all companies, by the way, because it's accepted in the industry, and that is based on the, you know, the earnings. Mm-hmm. So you use the multiples of earnings. For example, if you can use the monthly ones or you can use the annual ones. So the monthly ones, basically you take a business like any other business and you say, what is the net profit before tax? If the net profit before tax is this amount, then how do you evaluate the business? You actually then multiply it by 36, which is 36 months or up to 40. So it's a multiple. Or if it's an annual a net profit of, let's say, 1 million, then you say, well, I can multiply this by 3,
yes,
to give me 3 million. So that is the best way of evaluating the service station business. Because, for example, you know, if you look at, you know, the fuel, the margins in fuel are very different from the margins in the shops.
Yes.
And so what is important is really, it's your net profit for the entire business. So the fuel, the shop, airtime, everything involved. What is the net profit per month before tax? That is the indicator that you need to look at. And then if you then multiply that average monthly net profit before tax by 36, and then it will tell you what is the right value. So mm-hmm. That's how we test it, and even that's how the oil companies will look at it. So the figures that you see advertised on newspapers are not always the figures that end up being used in terms of the final deal.
Yes. And I'm glad you highlighted
this. The thing is that the oil company, when you come and present, they are already using this information.
Mm-hmm.
So they expected you to have actually gone and done proper due diligence. You're supposed to know all this information. So if you come with the price that was just advertised there, and you cannot justify yourself why that price is right or wrong, then you are in trouble already when you're applying for a service station. So that piece of information is very, very important.
Yes.
How do you actually evaluate the business?
Yes. This speaks to research, yes, the evaluation, and then the assets, of course, the business.
That depends on the area, the location. Then people will use the municipality rates for each and every area. So that varies as well. So, but you can always access that information as well to actually test whether the assets as well that you are buying are actually worth the value that they are on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that is very, very important for people to understand. And then also what's important is that also when you value or you evaluate, sorry, the shops, for example, in our mm-hmm. industry, you know, a franchised shop, which is like owned by an oil company, is branded like, you know, Shell Select or Woolies in an engine, etc.
Yes.
You know, you cannot use the same expectation in terms of margins mm-hmm. from a non-branded shop.
Mm-hmm.
So a non-branded shop does not, for example, attract things like royalties. Mm-hmm. So you might find that for the same turnover or even for a lower turnover in a non-branded shop, they are making a better profit because they are not actually paying royalties to the oil companies. That talks to, when I say non-branded, those are also the independently owned. So if I own my own brand, I've got my own shop, I own the asset, then I do not have to pay the royalties
so it can
to
be a
an oil company. And that obviously improves my profit.
With a car wash, and that wouldn't, independently owned by the franchise, or rather the owner of the filling station, and that could influence the margins themselves, because I guess I've got greater control on the operating costs in the business, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So those areas where you've got control, and you're not paying, you know, that things like royalty fees or even rentals, then you tend to make more money. But the bottom line is that you need to understand whether this is a franchise business
mm.
and what are the costs that actually come with a franchise business. And if it's not a franchise business, is it independent? And what are you buying? Are you only buying the business or are you buying the assets as well? And so, and then go deeper into the values, and then you'll be able to come to the right figure.
Mm.
And you don't also, what we also emphasize as well, is that you do not buy on historical sales.
Mm.
You buy on current. What is the business doing now? So that's why you use that methodology where you take the past 12 months, and either you just take that full year and multiply it by 3, the net profit before tax and interest, or you take the average monthly net profit before tax for that 12-month period and multiply it by 36. It can go to 40 as well, the multiplier,
yes,
depending on the location and the opportunity that obviously that service station might actually experience in the future. Like if you go to a new developing area, there's a lot of development happening around the area. There is proof that, you know, in the future, there will be more business. So you can stretch that to 40. But as a seller, but as a buyer, you have to actually start from 36. And if you've got to stretch yourself to 40, there must be really good reasons for you to do that. Mm-hmm. I hope that that will help people, because that's just a straightforward evaluation. Forget about the price that you see mm-hmm. on the paper. Ask for information. Go to those financials. And also insist on audited financials.
Yes.
Because that's also very important.
I'm so
where
glad
you
mentioned
get
that.
The proper net profit before tax.
Definitely. That's very important, especially when it comes to making an investment in a private business or privately owned business. What I'm keen to understand, Babsibia, is a lot of South Africans might say, whoa, this sounds like a lot. I need to know the research. I need to know who to talk to. And the truth about entrepreneurship is that you do have to wear multiple hats, but you can also speak to experts. Those who will provide legal advice, the accountants who will give you the metrics, and of course, various other specialists who can help you from a retail positioning point of view and understanding the municipal responsibility. You have. Many of our listeners might sit back and say, but where do I start with the kind of information I want to gain? Is there, I guess, a one-stop shop or a hub like your organization that can assist?
Well, mainly, so the all companies, so depending on which service station is being sold. So if it's a company owned, the franchise, you know, business, all the oil companies have got their websites, right? Mm-hmm. Where they first advertise, you know, the businesses, and then they will actually guide you through the process. You know, there's a first application form where they just need the general information about you, your qualifications, you know, your experience, et cetera, et cetera. And if they feel that, you know, you meet those requirements, then you move to the second stage, where they then require you to come up with a business plan, and they will actually guide you, you know, in terms of what documentation is required for the business plan, you know. They will also provide you the information I was talking about, like the volumes that the service station is doing, you know, the turnover that they're doing in the shop. So you'll get all of that information from an oil company. Mm-hmm. Then it's up to you then to know how to actually analyze that information and then, you know, come up with your business plan and look at how you're going to improve it and also to say you agree with the price. So that is available. Also, if you're buying the independent, the independently owned businesses, those normally come via brokers. Mm-hmm. So if you go just Google, even now, if you just Google, you know, fuel stations for sale in South Africa, mm-hmm. there will be a number of brokers that will come up where they've got the listings of these independently owned service stations. And sometimes even the service stations that are owned by the oil companies. So it is possible to get that. But the first point of, you know, contact is to go to the oil company's website, you know, Shell, BP, Astron, Engine, et cetera, et cetera. You'll find there all the information that you're requiring. And then phase three, once then you've actually then, they say to you now, you've got the business. The most important things mm-hmm. is also the funding, right? Yes. Which they also tell you about. Mm. But in the main, all of them, they require, you know, 40% unencumbered cash. So you 40%. Must actually be able, whatever the value is that you finally agreed on, you must have 40% to fund it yourself. But some of them have been a bit lenient depending on the candidate, you know, also with the drive for transformation. They look at those other factors and that figure can reduce, mm-hmm. You know, and can be negotiated in terms of when they look at your strengths and the ability to actually, you know, fund the loan. And why they actually do that is because, you know, this margin is being tight. Mm. You know, the margin currently does not cater for, you know, things like loans, right? Mm. So you might also find that a service station that is thriving or that is able to sustain itself on 80,000, you know, profit per month might not work out for you if you've got a loan. Because now you've got a loan and you suddenly have to pay like 120,000 a month, then the figures just don't stack. So that is another thing that you need to actually take into account when you actually buy a service station, is to say you can might buy, you know, a service station from somebody who has been owning the service station for 30 years and they had no loan. So they were getting all this income. So when you do your own business plan, then you need to actually then say, well, if I'm going to borrow 10 million, This is the monthly, you know, payments that I've got to make within 5 years, because that's the maximum time you can. And you also need to factor that into your business plan. And if it doesn't stack, stay away from it. And also, after that, you then have to also go and get licenses. Let's say now you've been approved, your funding is fine, you've got all the requirements. You still need to go then to the Department of, well, it's changed now. It was Department of Minerals.
Mineral Resources and Energy.
Yes. But it's now Department of Minerals and Petroleum Resources, okay. Right? So they also, interestingly, also do their own evaluation before issuing you the license. They use the NPV, you know, the net present value methodology, mm-hmm. To ensure that your NPV is actually positive. So there's a lot of, you know, gatekeeping that is there to guide you before you really, really sign that agreement and say, I want to take this service station in terms of its sustainability.
Got you. Bab Sibiya, there's so much more we can explore, but you really hit the nail on the head on the key aspects that we need to be mindful of. The research, the quantum of the asset you'll be acquiring, understanding the structure of the ownership, and of course, the kind of funding that you will have to secure. Seen the website, and there are a number of resources, as you mentioned, that do assist in terms of access to understanding where you can find petrol stations that might be available for sale through a marketplace. Siyabonga kakhulu, Bab Sibiya.
It's my pleasure, Kuku. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Leaving us knowing more, a lot more educated, and having a more discerning business approach when it comes to viewing petrol stations and fuel stations as a business opportunity. It still is one. It can thrive. Yes, in certain segments, margins might be thin, but the opportunity is still there, especially if you have understood how to structure the business as well as the deal in order to not only speak to your needs, but speak to the environment and the location that you are actually serving. That was the chief executive for the Real Fuel Retailers Association, Bab Reggie Sibiya, giving us some insight there that we need to be mindful of.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.